Welcome to Under the Helmet. I am Chad Parsons, special edition here. Darren Waller. Signs have been that he is going to lean towards retirement. In fact, he is going to retire here in the 2024 offseason. Wanted to record a short feature show on the career that was and the dynasty asset that was Darren Waller and kind of what we're left with here, action planning for that Giants passing game that, again, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I always say if you're 1 foot out of the NFL, basically not coming back. You know, in rare occasion, Darren Waller, when you look at his career arc, has been one that is 3 years past his peak when you look at the career arc. But what a story for Darren Waller. I wanted to go back to Darren Waller, the prospect, the 204th pick of the 2015 draft out of Georgia Tech. And the classic, you know, I always go back to a Madden creative player in this capacity. You take a wide receiver with athletic tools, maybe one without positional skill refinement. That was Darren Waller. 6'6", 238 pounds, long arms, and a guy that ran 4.46, a 7.07 three cone. But here was the thing, a 96% athlete from Georgia Tech that basically caught a pass a game. A guy that didn't have 1,000 career yards at Georgia Tech, despite playing 50 games, despite, you know, and not having 10 touchdowns, a guy that a big play maven that basically did not play in the slot, a 2% slot rate back at Georgia Tech. And so someone that played on the outside, and the Ravens take him as a, again, just a project, a day three, what if kind of physical collection of tools, which was so interesting at the time. And this was the heyday of under the helmet, the heyday for myself in terms of loving these physical gifted wide receivers, even if they were not overly productive, and just grabbing them in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, undrafted, too many on my dynasty roster. That was really the peak. 2015, 2016, 2017 was really when I was digging these profiles. And Darren Waller was a part of that. Now he goes to Baltimore. Off field is a tremendous issue. He's trying to get his life right in addition to trying to transition to the NFL as a wide receiver that, again, not overly productive in college as a day three guy, no tiebreakers. And we're talking about a guy that ends up being, relatively speaking, non-productive for 3 to 4 seasons. And then there was an offseason. He goes over to the Raiders. And I remember it distinctly. It was about May that there was a lot of tea leaves that Darren Waller is looking like, projecting that he was going to be the starting tight end for the Raiders. And he was going to get every chance. And he ended up being a breakout player, a breakout dynasty asset, huge in redraft, and being a real critical element to what that season was. And so for Darren Waller, this timetable, this career arc of going essentially 3 to 4 seasons of nothingness, sparseness, and again, just battling himself and battling to stay in the NFL as a positional convert and a what-if sort of player. Coolsy, but where does this fit? Unbelievable story. And again, this is something like if you played Madden, you would take this type of prospect, switch them over, and they would become a Pro Bowl or All-Pro tight end. We had that in Darren Waller. What a story. The ultimate tally here, the final tally is 2 top 6 seasons, 2 more in the top 10, finishing out this past year in adjusted points per game, tight end 15, but a 4-year run as a top 10 producer at the tight end position, number 2 overall in his 6th NFL season, and that was his career peak. Looking at guys that have multiple top 6 finishes at the tight end position, of the active guys, and again, I know Darren Waller right now is leaving the active group, but we have Travis Kelce, we have George Kittle, Zach Ertz, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, and Evan Ingram. That's what we're sitting with. That's what we're losing in Darren Waller. And we could say, hey, last year was the sign of things to come. Last year was basically saying the peak is over, the fun times are over, and the lights are going out in this club. Party and fun times over. However, Darren Waller was still in a position to potentially be the number one target for his passing game. And that's the other thing I remember. Darren Waller fit the equation of, can you have a good enough quarterback? Check there with the Raiders. And then can you have a non-dominant wide receiver one? And this is before the era of Davante Adams being there. And Darren Waller really was that equation of Travis Kelce or of George Kittle, you know, especially before Brandon Ayuk and others got there. And like a Mark Andrews. This is the Rob Gronkowski. This is the equation that works pretty darn often. Antonio Gates for a lot of his time there with the Chargers. So this is one that really, really works. And so we're going to be missing this. We are going to, I know tight end is super deep right now, but Darren Waller was part of that tapestry over his 3 to 4 year true peak period. And it's also a story that I think back to off seasons. I think back to when drum beats start. And when the possibility, especially in a position like tight end, when you say it's a lot lower barrier for you to go into viability, for you to get into relevance. And frankly, thank you, Dynasty Leagues, for switching over to, it used to be years ago, 1.5 PPR for tight end at FFPC was like, whoa, step back, big tight end premium here. And now I'm seeing more and more custom leagues with 1.75, 2 PPR. I'm even seeing some with yardage bonuses in addition to PPR. And I say, I love the fact that it's bringing tight end more into relevancy. I obviously think starting two tight ends is another way or an additional way, another tool to make the position super relevant. But just know that Darren Waller was part of that stud factor at tight end. So it's good that we're deep, but it's also a lot more formats, especially Safe Leagues now has a stock format essentially for them that's 2 PPR for tight end. And it just really does provide a lot of optionality for flexes and makes those studs at the tight end position because it is one where you get to tight end 10. It's not quite like quarterback where you go, oh, that's a really good player. Some seasons it's not so much. Some seasons it's a shoulder shrug type player when you get to the teens of the tight end position, a lot of flatness. So again, shout out to Darren Waller. What a profile and what a story for him coming from a guy that frankly was not even on dynasty rosters for a huge chunk of time early in his career. And then he becomes one of the best at the position in his career peak. So outstanding, happy trails and hat tip to Darren Waller, the profile Darren Waller. I just remember, like I said, the peak period when I was looking at athletic profiles and he was not overly productive, but didn't really matter. Super interesting when he landed in Baltimore. And then that became en route to the Raiders and ultimately his landing spot for true fantasy and dynasty impact.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
So what's left for the Giants tight ends? Well, two notable players on the dynasty front. First, we have Daniel Bellinger, a player that doesn't have the biggest sample size yet. He's still a younger player, but a day three profile, round four here. And the problem with Daniel Bellinger is they tried him out last year. They tried him out with Darren Waller. Again, in and out of the lineup, Darren Waller played about 350 routes last year. Daniel Bellinger played almost 300. So he got a good sample size here on a team that frankly didn't have a lot going at wide receiver as well. You had Darius Slayton, you had Wandale Robinson, you had Jalen Hyatt coming in as a rookie, Sterling Shepard coming back from injury, you had Paris Campbell. They tried out a lot of stuff. Well, they drafted Malik Nabers this year, and they hope that cures a lot of ills. But the tight end position, in addition to just feeling a little better about the wide receiver position, TBD on how much impact we get from Nabers in year one, we still have the quarterback questions. But Daniel Bellinger specifically, we're talking about a guy that did not play in the slot an over amount. Darren Waller did. More than half of his routes last year came in the slot. Only 25% for Daniel Bellinger. And here's the biggest part. Daniel Bellinger has been a subpar producer on a per route basis. So we have enough of a sample size that I would say, you know, he's younger and we go, oh, there's always upside. There's always promise here. But with Daniel Bellinger, a guy that for his career is under 1 yard per route run, a guy that has not demanded targets on a per route basis. He was 0.9 yards per route run last year. And again, someone that has played a relevant number of routes and snaps. So that's the concerning part with Bellinger. He's really not on the success track much at all. And unlike someone like Trey McBride or with higher pedigree, you give them a longer leash. So we don't even have that as sort of a backdrop here. So Daniel Bellinger has not been one to look like a higher end option. I did think there was more promise when he came out in 2022. That's 2 years now into his career. 250 plus pounds, a 77% athleticism score, 51% production score coming out of school. He had some red flags in terms of low yardage, only 5 career touchdowns in college. Again, someone that his ADOT was low in college. It's been low in the NFL. Not overly confident when you look at what he does on a pre-catch basis and then a post-catch basis. I have a lot of concerns about all of that from Daniel Bellinger. So the other big relevant or possible name here is Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson, similar pedigree early on day 3 and round 4 here coming out of Penn State. Now, he's probably a better version. He's a different version, but he's still on that boom-bust scale. Now, what I will say is tight end position. Boom-bust is where you can pay some bills. Boom-bust is where, hey, we're going to teach you the position. It's usually a slow ramp-up option in the NFL anyway. But a 95% athlete is Theo Johnson, 6'6", 259, ran a 4.57. So this is promising and slash more promising than Daniel Bellinger. And especially since we have data points already on Daniel Bellinger saying, he's probably not going to be the guy. You know, if you're even, you're leaving. And a guy that hasn't really flashed all that much, and then you draft someone with similar pedigree a couple years later, it says, we're a little tired of you. We need another option. We need to kind of backfill this. And whether that was related solely to Darren Waller and the hemming and hawing and possible retirement, or in addition to saying, hey, Daniel Bellinger, we don't think you're going to be the guy. I kind of think of Noah Gray there for the Chiefs. And some of these day three guys, again, a lot of these day three guys, they're just dart throws for these teams. Secondary tight ends that if they ever got pushed all the way to being the starter, big concerns there. But for Theo Johnson, again, a more prolific producer when you look at some of the data points coming out of Penn State, someone that just a little more dynamic nature, but still a lot of flags production-wise. You know, again, a guy that not overly high in terms of his yards per route run in college. He's actually below the Mendoza line in general and not just the threshold for successful tight end prospects, which is much closer to 2 yards per route run. He's at 1.2 for his career. And then the other part, a really late marginal breakout. So I don't want to get anyone totally excited about either option here because my main takeaway is tight end position for the Giants is probably not going to be overly relevant, period, end stop. And so that's the most concerning thing. It's good news for the wide receiver position. And again, right now, in terms of redraft ADP, we have Malik Nabers right there in the mid-20s. So there's excitement that Malik Nabers is going to be the best thing we've had since or at least the prospect of Darren Waller there with the Giants in terms of a relevant pass catcher here. We had some signs from Darius Slayton a few years ago, but again, this is really going to be about the non-tight ends. So going back to kind of where we sit here, with the valuation on these tight ends. And I already factored in Darren Waller being a retirement possibility, plausibility, or probability here. So Theo Johnson is at tight end 25. And that just speaks to the upside and how liquid the position is, especially outside of the top 20 to 23. Theo Johnson is relatively aggressive in where he is. And there's a big tier 6 here. It stretches from about tight end 25 to about tight end 35 to 38. So it's a big grouping here. Theo Johnson is on the earlier side of that in the UTH rankings, incoming rookie and a very flat and frankly, even in tight end premium, a relatively non-valuable chunk. There are some more exciting names, but again, Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger are both in there. There's a bunch of backup tight ends. So taking your shot on a potential starter with the Giants versus a known backup, could make some sense. But that said, again, not overly excited about either guy. Theo Johnson, just because Bellinger is more of one that we have a bigger sample size on, would be the play for what could be, as opposed to what we've already seen not being very good or good enough from Daniel Bellinger. Those would be the biggest takeaways here. And again, both players, frankly, are marginal one tight end rostered players in stock PPR. I would argue they need to be in PPR, you know, 1.75 to 2.0. Even in 1.5, I would have some pause because normally that's an FFPC format. Those have shallow rosters. I don't know if either one is necessarily a good rostered player just because in FFPC, so many backup running backs that are on the waiver wire, that taking the shot on one of these guys that they could, you could squint and they could possibly be a flex play for you. And if that is your starter, you're in trouble. It's the general sentiment here. But again, tight end premium all the way up to 2.0. That's where a lot of the tight end 20 to 40 really comes into play as quality options to stash away. Darren Waller retires and the dynasty and NFL machinery moves on. I am Chad Parsons. Reminder that if you want all the UTH rankings, you can go over to uthdynasty.com. I got a trade calculator. If you want the micro valuations on all of these players, have your best dynasty season yet, and make the best dynasty trades with and precision, knowing that all of the historical data is in your favor over there at UTH Dynasty as well. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.